Yudches Sivan, 1st of June, Rabbi Jeremy Golka, consistency and faithfulness.
Okay, good morning. I'll be very like to share with you an idea that I saw in the writings of Rabbi Lev, Rabbi Zev Lev, a very beautiful piece on this week's parasha. You'll note, if you look in the Chumash, if you get an Aliyah, I think it's Shishi, you'll note that there are two psukim, two very famous psukim in this week's parasha, which are unusual, in that they have brackets around them. Right, the psukim of Vayhi Bin Tzor HaOrein and of Venuchu Yoimar, familiar psukim, they have inverted nuns, upside down nuns, which bracket these two psukim. The question is, what is that all about? So if you take a look at the first source, there are more handouts on the Bimah, if you haven't got. But the Rashi on the spot deals with the question. Rashi says, Vayhi Bin Tzor HaOrein, also the simonias that HaKadosh Baruch Hu, as it were, put brackets in the Torah, milafonov umilachrov, before and after these psukim, loymar, to say, she'ein ze mekoymo, that these two psukim are in the wrong place. They shouldn't be in this week's parasha. Where should they be? The chayra, they should be at the beginning of Bamidbar, in Perek Beis of Bamidbar, which deals with the Dagonim and deals with the movements of the Jewish people in the Midbar. Vayhi Bin Tzor HaOrein is relevant to that. So why are they here? V'loma nichtav kan, says Rashi, k'dei lahafzik bein peronius leperonius, to make a barrier between the peronius, k'dei issa b'chol kisvei kodesh. Like the Gemara says in Kol Kisvei Kodesh, a perek in Shabbos, kuftes zayin omad aleph. Now, what does the Gemara say? What does the Gemara say over there? The Gemara says that Klal Yisrael did three things wrong. Klal Yisrael did three things wrong. There were three peronius, and therefore there are like three indictments against the Jewish people. Now, what exactly are the three things that they did wrong? That itself is a machlokes, and I'm going to go with the view of Tosfos and the Ramban. And this is what they say. The first thing that Klal Yisrael did wrong, the peronius Rishayna, was that they left Har Sinai too quickly. As the Ramban, if you look at the Ramban, he brings it, Avul Inyan HaMedrash, look at the third box, if you like, on paragraph 2, the Ramban says it very clearly, Avul Inyan HaMedrash Hazeh Motsu Oso Ba'agoda, there is a Medrash, Shen Nosu Me Har Sinai Besimcha, they left Har Sinai with joy, with too much enthusiasm, Katinoi Kabereach Mebeis HaSefer, like a child leaving school. You stand at the school gates at 4 o'clock, you take your life in your hands. You've got hundreds of boys running out. It's dangerous. It's a katina habereach mebeis sefer. Rabbi Hartman sometimes jokes and says, karebi habereach mebeis sefer. Sometimes the staff are also quite keen to me. Omru, so the Bnei Yisrael was saying, Shem yarbe v'yitzen lonu mitzvahs. You know, maybe if we stay a bit longer, HaKadosh Baruch Hu will give us even more mitzvahs. You know, 613, enough, but let's get out of here. V'zeu v'yisu mehar Hashem. That's what it means, v'yisu mehar Hashem. Shohem machshavosim, says the Ramban, their thought was, la'asiyah asin misham b'pnei shohar Hashem. We've got to leave, because it's the har Hashem, i.e. HaKadosh Baruch Hu could give us more mitzvahs, and enough already. V'zeu peronius rishayna. That was the first peronius, that's the first criticism, the first indictment of the Jewish people. V'hifsit, and therefore, before we have the second indictment of the Jewish people, we break it, and Hashem, as it were, takes these two psukim, and, you know, before Microsoft came along, we've got the first cut and paste. It's a cut and paste from Bamidbar Perek Beis, and it's put in the middle of these three peronius to be mafsik, that we shouldn't go into the second one. Now, what is the second one? So again, it's not so clear exactly what the three are, but the way the Ramban and Tosfos learn, Rabbi Neff brings down, that the second one is this, that when they traveled very quickly. Rashi says, when it says, Derech Shleishis Yomim, Rashi brings on the Pasuk, that really it was a one-day journey, but sorry, it was a three-day journey that he made Klal Yisrael do in one day. So therefore, you've got to travel a long way, and in a short period of time. So they complained, we're going too fast, slow down. That was the second promise. And what's the third one? The third one was that they were complaining about the food, the slav. They weren't happy with the food, we want meat, we don't want the monk. By the way, it's a bit difficult to understand. What exactly was the complaint about the monk? You know, if someone were to come up today with an invention, that you buy a food, it's packaged, and the person just looks at the food, and he just thinks whatever he wants to taste, and it will taste like that. Whether it's a croissant that you're having outside, whether it's a banana, whether it's a, I don't know, a steak and chips, whatever it may be, you think it through in your mind, and the guy sells that, he'll become a millionaire. What a brilliant invention. What exactly did Klal Yisrael not like about it? So Rashi says it was a pretext. Yeah, they wanted to find an opportunity to complain. They're different before, but I saw something very interesting. I saw a pshat. The Gemara says in Yuma that a blind person can never become full. He can never be satiated. Why? Because seeing the food is part of the eating experience. And I thought, by the way, that's why, you know, the Gemara says, the Chazal say there are three reasons why we light Shabbos candles. Tonight, we'd light Hadlokas Neiros. Why do you light Shabbos candles? So there are three reasons. Number one, it's Kavod Shabbos. Number two is Oneg Shabbos. Number three is Shalom Bayis. So Kavod Shabbos means, if you've got a guest, you put out candles. It's part of honoring Shabbos. Number two, Shalom Bayis, that their house should be illuminated, should be lit, that people shouldn't slip and they shouldn't fall on things, which sometimes causes Shalom Bayis. People get upset. But what about Oneg Shabbos? How does lighting candles enhance our Oneg Shabbos? So maybe the pshat is exactly this. That if, where are you meant to light Shabbos candles? By the table. Why? Because you're meant to illuminate the table, therefore you see the food more. The more you see the food, the more you enjoy the eating experience. The culinary experience is enhanced by there being more light. Fine. Therefore, I saw the mon, it all looked the same. And you can't really enjoy food if it all looks the same. You're eating a piece of cardboard. You can think whatever you want to think, but not seeing what you're actually thinking doesn't quite do it. Anyway, then maybe that's one of the explanations. Either way, there are three things that Klal Yisrael did wrong, number one, according to Tosis and the Ramban. Number one is that they left Har Sinai too quickly, too enthusiastically. Number two, they complained they were traveling too fast. And number three, they complained about the food. Now, here's a question. If the purpose of cutting and pasting the two psukim of Vayi bin Zohar and of Vinuchi Yoma, and to put them bang in the middle of the three peronias, that it should stop there being a chazaka, that there shouldn't be a threefold chazaka, this presumption of guilt on the part of Klal Yisrael, logically, where would you cut and paste? Between one and two, or between two and three? What's the svara? What would, Ms. Svara, where would you cut and paste and put this barrier to make sure that you wouldn't get a chazaka? What would you say?
Two and three.
Yeah. Three. Why? Because before you get to criticism number three,
right,
to stop there being a chazaka, quickly put in a barrier there. And that's the brackets of the two psukim should go there.
Yeah.
But yet, the psukim go in between one and two. Seems strange.
Hmm.
That's Rabbi Lef's question. And in short, his answer is going to be this. What you see between one and two is something very damaging, because there is an inconsistency in the behavior of the Jewish people.
Why?
Because HaKadosh Baruch Hu looks at them and says, look, when they complain in criticism number two, in the Peronius Shnir, they complain they're going too fast. Slow down! We're going on a 3-day journey in one day, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu had good intentions to get them to Eretz Yisrael quicker. But they're complaining about that. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, really, you're complaining that you're running too fast? You can't run, it's too fast? Not long ago, you showed me that you could run. So can you run or can't you run? They were showing an inconsistency in their arguments. That was the point. When they ran from Har Sinai, they showed they could run. And all of a sudden, they're complaining, it's going too fast, we can't run. There's nothing worse than being inconsistent. And to break that inconsistency, Kodesh Baruch Hu specifically chose to put these psukim between 1 and 2 and not 2 and 3. Now Rabbi Leff builds on this with bringing many raya's. I'll bring you one or two of my own and then some of his as well. The first raya for this idea is this. Take a look at paragraph 3. There is a very interesting medrash. I first heard this medrash from Rabbi Pinchas Roberts. It's not, no one knows where the medrash is. But everyone quotes the medrash, it's well known. But it's brought in the Hakdom of the Ein Yaakov. But where the actual medrash is, no one knows. But everyone cites the Hakdom of the Ein Yaakov. So listen to this medrash. Imagine you sit down at the meal tonight, and you put out a question. You say, what do you think is the most important pasuk in the whole Torah? Interesting question. What is the most important pasuk in the whole Torah? Bereishis, Ani Hashem Elokeichem, Shema Yisrael. So the Gemara said, the Medrash says that the Tanoim were discussing this very question. Take a look at this Medrash. Ben Zoyma, paragraph 3. Ben Zoyma Omer, Motsinu Posuk Koilol Yosef. I've got a Posuk which is encompassing everything. What is that? Posuk Hu Shema Yisrael. Yeah, that's really what it's all about. Ben Nanas Omer, he says, no, I've got a better Posuk. Ben Nanas Omer, Motsinu Posuk Koilol Yosef. What is that? V'ahavta L'recha Kameicha. After all, Rabbi Kiva says, Zek Klal Gadol B'Torah. Now the third one, I don't think anybody would ever come up with this one. Listen to this. Shimon ben Pazi Omer, Motzin Apostle Koil Yosef. I've got a pasuk which beats number 1 and number 2. I beat Shema Yisrael, beats V'after Rech Kameicha. What is that pasuk? Es hakeves echo ta'aseh ba'boike, ves hakeves ta'aseh ba'bein ha'boim. Vatsi Hashem, the Tomit shel Kishacharis and the Tomit shel Bein ha'boim. Now, what on earth is so important about this pasuk? And to make matters worse, the Medrash carries on, homage of Pliny al Raglov, V'omah halach ben Pazi. The halach has been like ben Pazi. We like this third pasuk, the Tomit. What's so chashuv about this pasuk? So the explanation is this: the idea is talking about Tomit, day in, day out. The theme that emerges is consistency. You have to bring the Tomit shel Shacharis every single morning, rain or shine, Chol, Shabbos, Yom Tov. Doesn't make a difference. And so too the Tomit shel Bein Abayim. What is being lauded here is the consistency, is the tzmidus. What is the greatest accolade you can give a yeshiva bocher? What is the greatest praise? That he's got a good cop? No. He knows this masechta? The greatest accolade is that he is a masmid. What is the notion of masmid? Masmid comes from the word tomid. It means he's there day in, day out. The Netziv used to say the definition of a masmid is someone who learns when he's meant to learn, who eats when he's meant to eat, and sleeps when he's meant to sleep. But someone who is diligent and is tomid. It's not sometimes he learns, sometimes he comes up with this, but is there day in, day out. We once had in the base of Medrash, in Hasmonean, in the base, we once had a Rosh Kodol that came to speak. He was a Rosh Kodol in Bnei Brak. And he stood up and said, you know, boys, my claim to fame is not that I'm a Rosh Kodol in Bnei Brak. My claim to fame is that I was in Cheder with Reb Chaim Kanievsky. Yeah? And he said, boys, you should know that he was not the brightest student in the class, but he was the biggest masmid. And Hasmoda gets you to where Reb Chaim Kanievsky has got. Hasmoda is really the key ingredient. And that's also, I think, an idea born out of the Gemara, which we maybe heard a few weeks ago, a Shavuos Gemara. The Gemara says in Psachim Samach Chesma Beis, a beautiful the hair from Rudaman. Rabbi Yosef said, on the day of Shavuos, he would say, Eloi HaYoma, were it not for this day, i.e. the day of Shavuos, Kama Yosef Ikka B'Shuka. Were it not for this day of Shavuos, there'd be many Yosefs in the Shuka. I wouldn't be anything special. I wouldn't be the great Hamayra Rav Yosef. I'd just be a regular Joe, a regular Yosef in the Shuk, in the street. So Rabbi Rudaman asks, really? You'd just be a regular Joe. I mean, presumably Rabbi Yosef had he was an Amora. So perhaps if he wouldn't have been for Matan Torah, he would have been a Dr. Joseph. He would have been a Professor Joseph, a CEO Yosef. What does it mean? It would have been Kama Yosef Ikka B'Shuka. So Rav Rudaman says, what it means is this. Were it not for Matan Torah, there would be an inconsistency in my behavior. In other words, in the business world, I'll behave like this. At home, I'll behave like this. In the sports field, in the gym, I behave like this. When I'm on the street, like this, with my friends, like that. There wouldn't be a consistency in my actions. Now that I've got the Yom Matan Torah, there is a consistency in how I behave. There's just Rav Yosef. How I behave over there, in the shuk, in the marketplace, at home, in the Beis Medrash, wherever, is exactly the same. There's a consistency in my behavior. That's what the Gemara means. So you see that consistency is very choshev. Now, to prove it more, take a look, please, at paragraph 5. There is an astonishing Beis Halevi. It's quite well known, but it's a very powerful idea. The Beis Halevi is back in Parshas Vayigash, and he's talking about two of the most emotionally charged words in the whole Torah. Yeah, we're familiar with the story. Yosef and the Shvatim. So at the beginning of Parshas Vayigash, Yehuda approaches Yosef, and again, he doesn't remember it's Yosef, and he pleads with him, and says, you know, if you take Binyamin, my father won't survive. You can't do this to him. And with two words, Yosef sort of counters the argument of Yehuda. He just says, Ani Yosef. Says the Beis Halevi. Look at number 5, please. Ani Yosef, ha'od avichai, v'lo yochlu ochiv lanos osek yinifhalu upon him. The brothers couldn't respond because they were so overwhelmed. They were so astonished. Now, he quotes the Medrash. But Medrash Rabba Issa Apostle Zer, Omer Abba Kohen Bardala. He quotes Abba Kohen Bardala, who says famously, if the brothers were embarrassed, he goes, woe to us on the day of judgment, woe to us on the day of din. Why? Because Yosef cut the Shvatim. He was one of the younger of the Shvatim. And the brothers couldn't respond to him. They had nothing to say. When HaKadosh Baruch Hu comes and criticizes every person, according to his stature, al achas kama v'kama, how much more so we will be embarrassed. What does that mean? Says the Beis Halevi, uvedvarim elu nitman stira al kol tanosef shel Yehuda bevikucha. With these two words, Yosef undid the whole argument of Yehuda. The kol tanosef shel Yehuda hoya mitzar shel Yaakov. The whole argument of Yehuda was the tzar for my father. Don't take Binyamin because my father won't cope with this distress. Sheyigrulam belikichosa es Binyamin. V'im kein harikosha lehem. Madua lechosha shuheim the tzar shlavim amochru li Yosef. Says Yosef, ani Yosef. You're sensitive about your father. 20+ years ago, you weren't that sensitive. Now you're worried about your father. V'gam dimyochel lichias b'lo Yosef. But he's still alive. Your father's still alive. He managed to survive. So Yochel lichias below Binyamin. He'll survive without Binyamin as well. So with those two words, Yosef countered the argument of Yehuda. Now, then the Beis Halevi goes on and says something astonishing. V'nivholu mitechechosei v'lo yochlu ochiv la'anasboi. Ki yustira v'kushya aleihem. It's like in the Gemara you say, it's a stira minei obey. It's a self-contradictory statement. In other words, you yourself have disproved it. You've shot yourself in the foot. That's what the Medrash means. When HaKadosh Baruch Hu will come and will disprove every person, the Medrash says he'll disprove every person according to his own words. Because after 120, a person will have to be taken to task for contradictions in his own behavior. For you, ma'isav nitfosim ma'isav hechem sosim zeh zeh lemoshel. Yeah, if you look at the last couple of lines, lemoshel mi she'en leisin stalker. Someone doesn't give stalker. Seiver b'day tashiyesh teretz. After 120, HaKadosh Baruch Hu will say to him, so why didn't you give stalker? You know, the screen will come down, the clip will come along, and they'll show a guy will knock on the door and you didn't either answer or you gave him a small amount. So he'll have a teretz. He said, business was tough, the ribi in Starchus, I had a lot of other expenditures I had to make. I just didn't have the money at the time or whatever. So says the Beis Halevi, Omdom, there'll be a split screen. At the same time, there'll be another little movie. The person is spending money on other things which are less pressing. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu will just say, really, you didn't have money? Here for this, you did have money. Or a person, for example, will say, after 120, tell me, HaKadosh Baruch Hu will say, why didn't you learn more? Or why didn't you get involved in more Tzorche Tzibur or Chesed projects or whatever? So a person will turn around and say, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, I didn't have time. I didn't have time, I was busy the whole time. So again, HaKadosh Baruch Hu will just split the screen and will show the hours and hours that we all waste with nonsense. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu will say, tell me, you didn't have time, but for this you did have time. In other words, that's the pshat, the few mashehu. We are, sometimes we shoot ourselves in the foot. That's what the Beis Halevi is saying. What is the root of the problem? There's a lack of consistency in our behavior. And this is borne out as well in the Tana Dvei Eliyahu. The Tana Dvei Eliyahu says something very powerful. Pamachas, hoyisi mahalech memakom lemakom. Says Eliyahu Hanavi, one time I was going from place to place, and I met a person who was unlearned, he didn't have mikra, didn't have mishnah, didn't have chumish, no mishnah. For him, misleitzes connecting, he was making fun of me. I wanted to give him teichacha. I wanted to tell him off. What are you going to say after 120? You're unlettered, you're unlearned, you could have learned. Why? What are you going to say? So Omar Lee, so this person said, Rebbe, Yeshli Devorim Sha'ani Meshiv Bino Vadas. I've got a great answer. Yeah, what's your answer? Loinostuli Minashamayim She'ekra Ve'eshna. The HaKadosh Baruch Hu didn't give me a good cop. He didn't give me a good brain I could learn. So Vamar Tiloi, so the Medrash carries on, the Tana Dvei Eliyahu carries on, and this is what it says, I haven't quoted it all here. But the Tana Dvei Eliyahu carries on and says this. Eliyahu Hanavi, it's very clever. He said to him, Ma Melachtecha, what do you do? By the way, there's a famous book, Dale Carnegie. Do you remember the book, How to Win Friends and Influence People? A good conversationalist doesn't talk, he listens. He said to him, Ma Melachtecha, and how do you listen? You get the other person to talk about something which interests him. So you ask a person, tell me about your work. That often interests the person, hopefully it interests the person. And so he asks his fisherman, Ma Melachtecha. So you imagine the response, he goes in detail, he starts saying, well listen, the night before I've got to check the weather, because I've got to go out fishing. So I look at I taste the grass, I look at the animals, I do this, I do that. And he gives him a whole lesson in meteorology. And then the next day, I go down to and I check out the water, and I've got to go and I know the fish, and he explains, how some fish prefer ghosts, swimming towards the top, and some lower down, and I've got to go in different places, and it depends on the topography of the land. And then he starts talking about how he actually captures them. Imagine you go, and one time I remember going to Edinburgh. I went to check with the kids, I went on a boat, one of these HMS Belfast, one of these big boats, I forget its name. And there they had a big display of all different types of knots. So I know one or two knots, what do I know? But there you've got knots of all 30 or 40 different types of knots, and all different, because that's the numnus, that's their profession, that's their job. So he started explaining how he captures them. So several hours later, Lyanov is just taking it all in, after this long lecture ranging from all different areas, and Lyanov then comes in with a killer punch. He says, tell me, for this you've got a brain, but for Torah you haven't got a brain. That's it. It's a stirim in Neobay. A person shoots himself in the foot. The problem here is the inconsistency in a person's argument. For this you've got time, for this you haven't got time. And that's really what the Ibn Ezra says in Parsha Shoftim. It says, Kisishmer es kol ha-mitzvah azos la-asoyso, la-avos Hashem Elokech v'leches bedrochov kol ha-yomim. Says the Ibn Ezra, kol ha-yomim, b'li hefzit b'neihem. That's one of the beauties of Daf Yomi and all these Yomi programs. There's a consistency that is needed. I once had a friend who decided he's going to start Daf Yomi. So we were holding Brachas Lamed Hei. So I met him on the street. I said, Nu, how are you getting on? So he said he's up to Daf Hei. I said, Daf Hei, but we're Lamed Hei. So he says he's doing it, but slowly. But that's not Daf Yomi. Yeah, you're doing Daf Yomi slowly. The whole point is Yomi, right? Now, here comes the icing on the cake. What have we said? We said that in this week's parasha there were three criticisms of the Jewish people. Number one, they left Har Sinai too quickly. Number two, they complained they're traveling too fast. And number three, they complained about the food, the slav, the mon, etc., etc. Our question was, HaKadosh Baruch Hu takes the two psukim of Vayigin Sahar and of Nuchu Yoma and he cuts and pastes and he takes it from Bamidbar Beis and he puts it in Bamidbar Yud in the middle of our parasha to break these three. There shouldn't be a chazaka, but why put it between one and two? If you want to break a chazaka, put it between two and three before you get to number three. So we answered, because one and two was uniquely difficult in that it displayed an inconsistency within Klal Yisrael. You can run or you can't run. On one hand, you display that you ran very well. On the other hand, you're complaining you can't run. So to break that inconsistency, HaKadosh Baruch Hu specifically put it there. Now, how do we bracket it? If you get shishi tomorrow, you'll see, or look in a chumash, you'll see you have the inverted nuns. Why dafka the inverted nuns? The Gemara in Shabbos, daf kuf dalad om dalad in Habayna, it goes through every single letter of the Hebrew alphabet. And it tells you the wisdom, the amazing beauty of the Hebrew alphabet. Each letter. What does Nun stand for? So the Gemara says it stands for Ne'emonus. It stands for consistency. It stands for faithfulness. So the letter that is chosen to bracket these two psukim, which are there to be mafsik, bein pronis lepronis, is an inverted Nun. Is dafka a Nun, which is upside down, i.e. you are inconsistent. That's the point. And says Rabbi Lev beautifully, he quotes Reb Shamshon Raphael Hirsch. Reb Shamshon Raphael Hirsch says that this parsha, Paloisacha, marks the end of an epoch in Jewish history. Because from this stage on, we're going to encounter the Meraglim. And the Meraglim, unfortunately, is downhill. Because really, the Meraglim is the root cause of going into Golos. That's why we're here. We couldn't go to Eretz Yisrael straight away, because of the Lashon Hara and everything else that was going on. And that ultimately led to the Churban and to the Golos we're in. So really, this is the end of an epoch, says Reb Shamshon Raphael Hirsch, and it's the beginning of a new era. And what is the root cause of it? The root cause of it is this inconsistency. So says Rabbi Lev very beautifully, how do we reverse that problem? How do we end the Churban, we have the Beis HaMikdash again, and how do we have the end of Golos? He says you go back to the Nuns. You have Naaseh v'Nishma. The two Nuns, the Naaseh and the Nishma, the two Nuns, reflect a consistency. And that's really what Naaseh v'Nishma is. Naaseh v'Nishma is we will do and we will listen. That's why, by the way, you know, when the Chazal are very strict about any interruption between Tefillin Shel Yad and Tefillin Shel Rosh. We make a bracha on the Tefillin Shel Yad, and you can't speak between them. The Gemara says that they came back from war because of aveiras they had. What were the aveiras? They spoke between Tefillin Shel Yad and Tefillin Shel Rosh. Also, the problem is this. The Tefillin Shel Yad represents action, and the Tefillin Shel Rosh represents theory. You cannot have a disconnect between theory and practice. Again, it shows an inconsistency. And so therefore, the Naaseh v'Nishma will repair the damage done by this inconsistent behavior. And ultimately, says Rabbi Lev, he says that we'll be zocher to have a binyan beis hamikdash, and we can say nachamu, nachamu, the two nuns again. So you see a beautiful idea that the nuns are inverted because they're showing up an inconsistency in our avodas Hashem, and the way to repair that damage is A, through Naaseh v'Nishma, which demonstrates a consistency in our action, which ultimately will lead to the Nachamu Nachamu of the Binyan Beis HaMikdash.